I was talking to Andrew Chen from A16Z a while back, and he asked me, how are we going to tackle the cold start problem? And I said, we're going to bypass it. We're going to ride on TikTok's coattails, which is actually what Pinduoduo did.
I like that Andrew Chen actually asked founders about the cold
I
start
love
problem.
that. I
He really
loved
owns
that.
that question,
Yes,
huh?
that's his thing.
Welcome to the Just Raise podcast. I'm your host, Joe Sweeney, and this episode is for anyone who's interested in the rise of social fintech, like the group buying and super apps you might find in Southeast Asia, or if you want to understand effective online marketing and what things like the rise of TikTok have done to transform that space. And for anyone who wants to build viral products, products with that virality baked into the design, the product-led growth idea. Today, we're talking to Kaya Majmundar, founder and CEO of SwayPay, a company building the next killer marketing engine on top of TikTok. SwayPay is not an influencer marketing play, although it looks a little bit like it from the outside. They allow you to capture the long tail of social media, the everyday user. It's effectively a word-of-mouth marketing platform with monetization behind it, and one where the brands only pay based on ROI, how viral a post goes. They just raised $4.2 million and are seeing some pretty wild growth right now. I really enjoyed this conversation. It let me tap some of my newfound marketing knowledge working at Workweek, which is fundamentally a content creation company. So I hope you enjoyed this conversation with Kaya Majmundar, founder and CEO of SwayPay. Kaya, it is fantastic to have you on the show. SwayPay is really, really interesting. It feels like you are finally monetizing influence in a way that Facebook and all the other platforms haven't. So give us a quick breakdown. What is SwayPay? What are you building?
Sure. So thanks for having me on the show. Super excited to talk about SwayPay. So in a nutshell, if TikTok and Ibotta had a baby, that's SwayPay, or I lovingly call it Swaybe, honestly. So the ordinary person who has, call it no followers or 100,000 followers or 20,000 followers on TikTok, downloads SwayPay, connects their accounts, and is able to earn up to 100% cash back on their purchases by posting them on TikTok.
So it's kind of like a micro payments platform on top of TikTok.
It's kind of a cashback platform on top of TikTok. And actually, you don't
Oh.
even have to go viral. So the average post gets around 25,000 views, which is obviously a lot, but the median post gets 3,000 views. So it's about creating a post, shooting your shot, you're creating good content. The average earnings on SwayPay is around 20% cash back, regardless, really. So basically, if you do really, really well, you can earn up to 100% or even more than that. If you go viral, more than 100% back on your purchase. If you do decent, like an ordinary person, you can earn, 10 to 20% back.
So it's a way to essentially create micro influencer marketing for these brands without them having to put together campaigns, hire consultants, talk to influencers, do all of that kind of stuff. And it's not even necessarily influencers, it's just people creating on the platforms.
Yeah, that's exactly. And so our kind of mission, right, our thesis here is that there's a lot of social capital pent up in the long tail. And so we're, flipping kind of influencer marketing on its head. And we're saying we're opening it up for the masses, right? We have the ordinary person who has a lot of pent up social capital that they want to be able to exchange with brands. Brands don't really have an easy way of tapping in, and they have a lot of value to gain if they were able to do so, which we're seeing, right? We're kind of seeing go from celebrity to influencer to micro influencer to nano influencer to the ordinary person. At the end of the day, this is really just word of mouth where people are today, which is TikTok. And the other kind of really cool thing about SwayPay, the thing that I am most excited about is just kind of how we're on this paradigm shift of culture just living and breathing on TikTok. And if you as a brand, you just don't have a pulse on TikTok, you don't have a pulse, period. And so we basically allow brands to just really kind of take advantage of TikTok and tap into the masses and kind of lean into all of the trends, set the trends, follow the trends, and let basically their customers, their social savvy customers, take the wheel.
Yeah, I love that idea of the long tail being where a lot of the sway and influence is locked up. And word of mouth, I mean, that's the best form of marketing in a lot of ways, but impossible to track. And you're essentially building that in a very micro way on top of social media.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, with word of mouth, right, it's obviously the most powerful form of marketing, and everyone says that, but really no one quite understands what that means in math. So actually, on average right now, 13% of sales are delivered through word of mouth, but word of mouth actually drives 5 times more sales on average than a purchase that came in through an ad. So if you really just were to distill SwayPay, you're thinking, okay, 100% of SwayPay purchases not only deliver word of mouth marketing, but it's also where culture is being set and where the trends are shifting, which is on TikTok, or trends are kind of being created. And so it's really a no-brainer for the brands and obviously for the consumers.
How did you come to start SwayPay? What brought you here?
So I've had a very long, crazy journey. So I'm 29 now, but when I was 19, I'm, you know, daughter of two doctors, was pre-med in college, but I stumbled into my first startup venture, or actually I'm not even gonna call it a startup venture. It was just, I started a company, because startups is a totally different kind of breed of companies, right? So I invented a physical product and I ended up getting on Shark Tank for it and got a deal. And the company, it just went explosively viral overnight. It was just unbelievable. Number one trend on Twitter. And it was crazy because I just had a prototype at the time. And I was like, how did that just happen? Literally, when you're talking about overnight sensation, going from zero to hero. And I was just like obsessed with figuring out how to replicate that. So over the course of many years, I was like, okay, how do I unlock this form of social capital, you know, that brands want to be able to tap into, and ordinary people have this opportunity to like really, really ignite a brand in such a way where kind of everybody can win. And so I, long story short, started actually co-founding e-commerce brands with celebrities, exploding them on socials, and then kind of made my way to SwayPay that way.
It's a really interesting thing, the viral moment and chasing that, how you just produce content day after day and then one of them just goes 1,000x your average or 10,000x. It's kind of a crazy thing to have happen.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And actually, it's funny because what we think of is just mass proliferating seeds. So it's actually very similar, because we're talking about, you know, on the Just Raise podcast, it's kind of like a VC portfolio approach, right? You have 10 companies that you're investing in, expecting one to just, you know, return the fund. So it's very similar in that sense. We're kind of, I mean, not that VCs, I don't want to say VCs spray and pray per se, and neither does SwayPay, but essentially just igniting, planting as many seeds of this kind of TikTok content or word of mouth as you possibly can. And then really just taking a lot of the contrived mechanics around it. So it's just saying, okay, who are the people who are going to be the right person to spread the message, spread the brand, like just kind of flip that on its head. And let the post kind of proliferate, and then one pops, and then it kind of returns the fun in a sense from the brand side. And we've seen it already, literally within our first 2 weeks of just beta testing. We had one kid named Eli. He had an account. He had a TikTok account. He had 2 followers, and all of a sudden, his SwayPay post hit, you know, 200,000 views in the first week or something like that. And it's just kind of crazy how that happens. And so we're really excited about what we call scraping the edges of the peanut butter jar. You know, kind of getting to the ordinary person.
What does that return look like for a brand? So in that one where you had this kid post a TikTok video and TikTok loved it, so it got pushed out to everybody on the algorithm. How did that look for on the brand side as far as a return?
So first I'll talk about a little bit about how brands currently pay for what we deliver. So the first thing is, you know, the closest thing I think you can compare this to is influencer marketing, I guess. So brand kind of goes and tries to find influencer via a, you know, by themselves or some sort of influencer marketing platform. And they shop for influencers or find certain influencers who may or may not be purchasers of their brands anyway. They ended up having to pay up front for a post, really kind of negotiating with the influencer based of basically whatever the influencer wants to pay, they get to charge. And then they ship free product, and then the person kind of gets the product, they make the post, and then they post and we don't really know, you know, what happens to it. And essentially they're paying for, whether it's, you know, if they're negotiating directly, they're just kind of paying some sort of upfront fee for the content. If it's through an influencer marketing agency, they might be paying on a CPM basis, you know, cost per 1,000 impressions, 1,000 views. In that case, they might be, the influencer marketing agency charges, it's literally up to $20 per thousand views. If you know, kind of in marketing speak, and then, or, you know, they're running a TikTok ad and they're, you know, or Facebook ad. And in that case, if you're comparing it on a CPM basis, they're paying $7 for a CPM. So with SwayPay, what happens is that, you know, they're kind of letting people purchase, which is number one, right? Like, these are actual purchases. They're paying SwayPay a cut of that purchase, which is profitable and sustainable and economically effective for them. So great, they've already won. They've gotten a purchase. Now what happens is that this person shares it on TikTok. Either it does okay or it doesn't really perform at all and the brand still wins because they just paid the commission on the purchase. Or they really win because this post goes really viral and it drives a ton of traffic or sales to the brand. That's freaking fantastic. And another way too is, like, they win if they want to license that piece of content regardless. So whether it did okay or great, if they really want to do something with a piece of content, they can do that as well. And so it's kind of like this all-in-one solution that's also really, really cost-effective and organic and authentic and easy for brands, right? There's really no management on the brand side.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think from the outside, SwayPay probably looks to a lot of people like an influencer marketing tool. And what you're describing is that influencer marketing is a bad way to do marketing effectively. You have to ship products to people who don't necessarily like your product. And then via SwayPay, it's just people who already were going to buy your thing talking about how much they like it. It really turns the model on its head in a lot of ways.
Yeah. And actually, when we talk about it to brands, I mean, we're happy to call it influencer marketing. The reason why we don't like to call it influencer marketing is just because brands have a bitter taste in their mouth in terms of what that means, right? It's just kind of getting robbed for lots and lots and lots of money. And it's not actually, you know, what I found is really interesting is, like, SwayPayers, we have SwayPayers signing up who have a million plus followers with blue checks who are earning, you know, $10 on SwayPay posts. We have SwayPayers signing up with 20 million followers. We have SwayPayers signing up with zero followers who are creating their TikTok accounts for SwayPay. We have the ordinary, we have just kind of running everyone kind of signing up across the board. And on, you know, so it's hard to kind of call it influencer marketing. It's just kind of all over the place. Like, maybe I don't want to create terms for it, but on the brand side, it's, really kind of retraining both actually on the brand and creator side, really trying to retrain what it means to create a system where it's not actually creator first. We don't call ourselves creator first. We call ourselves this, like, everybody winning, win all mentality, where it's like the brands have to win, the audience has to win, and the creators have to win too. And so sometimes the creators take a quote unquote hit because they're not getting paid tens of thousands of dollars for a single post, or if they do, they don't, it's just not on SwayPay.
Well, it's just more of a pay for ROI model.
Like,
you pay if there's a post that blows up. Whereas if somebody with 50 million followers posts something and it doesn't get any views because it just wasn't popular in their niche or whatever it is, then they don't pay very much for it.
Yeah. And what's actually very interesting, I was talking to a brand 2 days ago, and that's exactly what happened, right? So they paid $25,000 for a creator to make a post that flopped. And that's just gut-wrenching, right, to think of as a business owner, to think that that could happen. It's interesting, though, on the flip side, too, we've done a lot of interviews. So we were wondering, why are people with this many followers, why are actual influencers signing up for SwayPay? But at the root of it, nobody wants to feel like they're ripping their customer off. And so creators don't feel good either about not performing and taking money from a brand and it not doing well, because ultimately that's a short-term relationship and you kind of like failed in a sense, right? You failed the brand in a sense. And so we kind of take that pressure off of the influencers back as well. And the other cool thing about it for the audience, for the influencers audience, is that inherently, you know, shilling or creating a post that's really inauthentic feels inauthentic to your audience, and you end up losing and hemorrhaging followers. And so in this way, brands also don't really force creators or SwayPayers to do anything in particular because it's so cost effective. So it's kind of like, yeah, go be organic to your feed, as long as you're keeping it within certain guidelines or framework. And we're, you know, everyone's really happy.
Yeah, it's a super cool idea. I have to ask, because I didn't earlier, what was your product on Shark Tank that went super viral?
It was called BusyBox, a collapsible storage box that didn't need assembly. And it was funny because at the time it was like a moving box, you know, cardboard moving box. And I was like, oh, you know, if we didn't have to assemble a cardboard moving box, that would be amazing. But the biggest lesson I kind of learned there was, and this is actually what one of the sharks had told me, it's like, you can come up with a really, really good idea, but if it doesn't work economically, you know, it's not worth pursuing. And of course, like corrugated cardboard boxes, they're really, really cheap, you know, $2, a dollar, and any sort of additional, we had like origami folds to make it work, to make it not assembly, you know, and so, and that ended up being expensive. And are people really willing to pay for that? And the reason I say that is because really, when we're looking at the market kind of crashing in fintechs and in general, you know, in the startup ecosystem, and you're seeing kind of sustainability and revenue streams and kind of like really sturdy economics being just paramount today, you know, this has been the centerpiece of SwayPay from day one. And so that kind of economic sustainability has always been in the back of my head ever since I went on Shark Tank.
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of public delivery companies that still don't have good unit economics. So you learned it earlier than most, maybe.
Yeah.
How much of a company's marketing budget do you think they could move over to SwayPay? Because it's really interesting. It feels like something that could become a much bigger channel because of the ROI basis. And, you know, billboards, you don't really know what your return on that marketing is when you slap something up. And same with TV commercials and Facebook, Instagram ads are a little bit different because they're so targeted and you can see that click-through return. But how do you think of SwayPay as kind of a competitor in these different marketing channels?
Yeah, so SwayPay is going to become the most valuable when exactly that, when it becomes a distribution channel, right? And so what that means today is just onboarding as many TikTokers as humanly possible. What that means tomorrow and 5 years from now could look very different. But I think what's really interesting from the brand side is, especially because of our economic model, is that, I kid you not, quote from brands is that, you know, take all of our money. Right? Uncapped budgets. This is not, and this is like unprecedented in versus influencer marketing, the campaign style world, where for us, it's like, no, as many dollars as you can deplete them, right? Mm-hmm. Because it feels almost, it's too good to be true from the brand side. And honestly, we're kind of creating a too good to be true to experience for the SwayPay side as well. And so to answer your question in terms of how much we could take of the marketing budgets, I think it's fair to say that we could be very, very competitive in taking, ideally, I don't want to say all because that, you know, just kind of eye-rolly, but a good chunk of influencer marketing budgets, especially now that you have the larger influencers also taking interest in SwayPay. I mean, sure, maybe there are celebrity relationships that just people can't access on platforms like ours, but that's, you know, that's one area. And then in terms of the second area, I would definitely say I'm really excited about this cashback kind of landscape and taking a good chunk there, or actually opening the pie, because Gen Z doesn't really interact with the Fetch Rewards, Ibotta's of the world. So it has a solid kind of breadth and depth in both of those areas, and just kind of leveraging TikTok right now. And then obviously in the future, I think natively within SwayPay.
One of my favorite questions to ask founders is why now? And I guess that ties into why hasn't this been done before? Facebook and Instagram have existed for a while now. So why is now the right time for SwayPay?
I love this question. Thank you for asking that. So first of all, Bill Gross did this famous TED Talk about why and how timing is the single biggest indicator for startup success or failure. And I never really put two and together as to why that might be until literally now, because SwayPay is red hot in the center of three paradigm shifts. And we feel this nauseating pull every single day. Like, I'm almost sick to my stomach. I tell my co-founder all the time, like in the obviously the best way. But those three paradigm shifts are, number one, everybody is an influencer, right? And Emma Chamberlain actually did a really interesting podcast series a few weeks ago about what the kind of world looks like when everybody has 10,000 followers on TikTok or wherever, because that's very much where kind of the world is trending and how that impacts the financial unlock or gains up and down the creator ecosystem. The second one is money issues. If you remember in the 2008 crisis, Groupon launched and became the fastest growing startup ever, right? And it's because the discounting became a necessary kind of like existential move for brands. And actually Abercrombie kind of fell on its sword for refusing to discount in 2008. In SwayPay's case, what I'm really excited about is that we're doing this, we're increasing purchasing power, you know, with against inflation and all this kind of stuff in a way that is actually sustainable for brands. So of course, with Groupon, ultimately it kind of sucked for the brands and it didn't quite last, but for SwayPay, this is kind of what I'm excited about in terms of a win-all. We're not creator first or brand first. We're kind of win-all ecosystem. And then the third kind of paradigm shift that I am super, super excited about, probably most excited about, really is TikTok. You know, it's just like kind of going crazy right now. And just to put it in somewhat of a perspective, I think social commerce, there was a report that came out recently that social commerce was reprojected to increase by 800% by 2030. So the TAM was $585 billion in 2021, $727 billion in 2022, reprojected to $6.2 trillion by 2030. And that's because of TikTok watch time, right? Mm-hmm. And so you're kind of seeing all of these things collide for SwayPay, and we're feeling it. You know, there's no reason why a brand with 20, right? I mean, that brand that I was talking about, who has 20% market share of its category, is telling us unlimited budget, you know, with we're a 2-year-old startup. So it's pretty crazy.
Yeah. And increasingly brands are trying to move spend to TikTok because they know that the CPMs are lower. It's a lot cheaper than Instagram. People talk about it like it's the marketing channel that Facebook was in 2008.
Yeah, green grass.
Can you walk through exactly from when I buy a product to how I get paid? You explained it earlier, but now I realize that that is really the core and where that ROI drive is. Can you just walk us through that?
First of all, you as a Sway payer, you make your purchase and then you submit a TikTok post and then we're grading it and you're saying, hey, congrats, you've earned this much money. Couple interesting behaviors. So one thing is that we give creators the option to extend their earnings window. So right now it's that they can earn on their posts for 7 days and then they can choose to extend that out for another 14 days. Right now we're seeing about half of the people extend that earnings window out. The reason I surface that is because, you know, people are keeping the money in their SwayPay wallets, which is really exciting for us in terms of a potential like float revenue stream, right? That because brands pay us. Yeah. So that's one thing. And Airbnb is super famous for float being a massive revenue stream, right? And so like that's something really exciting for us. The second thing is that SwayPayers kind of go into their wallet and they cash out. Right now, it's a very simple cash out via Venmo or PayPal, nothing too fancy. Maybe, you know, in the future, we'll do all sorts of other kind of native cash out or whatever. But the interesting thing there, back to what you were saying with micropayments, is that some SwayPayers are earning that, you know, crossing that 1099 threshold. And so it really kind of goes back into when you're talking about micropayments, you know, how and why would it be that SwayPay keeps the users on the platform, users and brands on the platform, and not kind of leaving the platform? We mitigate a lot of the risk from the brand side because of that. Like, let's say that a brand tried to go and do replicate SwayPay for 1,000 people. I mean, how are you going to really keep track of who to issue a 1099 to, who to reward in the first place, how to create that kind of infrastructure? I mean, obviously right now you can do PayPal, Cash App, whatever, but that's not really scalable, right? And so I think from that side of it, for just being a kind of a clean plug-in interface for both the creator side of being able to take care of their kind of tax and compliance issues, and same thing with the brands, making that kind of super slick and seamless experience is really helpful to both of them. And then in terms of for the Sway payers, this idea of it's kind of like, it's interesting. We did a lot of user interviews and they think of it as kind of this like piggy bank that they get to keep separate from their parents, right? So if you really think about it, Gen Z doesn't really have their own agency over their own money per se. And so for the first time, we're able to give people agency over their own money. This is separately, totally detached from their parents. And so it's not even people who are just extending their post windows to keep money in the account. They're like just straight up keeping money in SwayPay because that's their separate stash of spending money that their parents don't have access to. And I think that's going to be a really interesting behavior for us to expand on and continue giving these young people kind of agency over their money.
Yeah. I mean, that wallet idea is super interesting. And you combine that with...
I know, I'm so interested by it.
And you combine that with the float that you can carry. It feels like you've really studied fintech apps.
Yes.
Maybe some of the ones in Southeast Asia that have like the wallets and stuff built in. What have you learned from those and what are you modeling off of?
Yeah. So float is a really big one. I think, you know, more than anything, and I think I've read a lot about the social fintech kind of thesis that A16Z has and all of this kind of stuff. I think at the end of the day, like we're not really kind of going deep into calling ourselves a fintech or trying to do that, go down that path just for the sake of doing it, right? But for us, it's really about observing this user behavior and seeing, okay, how do we help you do more of what you really want to do? And like really just studying and leaning into our users' wants and needs. And so I don't want to say that like, you know, it's kind of eye-rolly again to think about, oh, you know, debit card or whatever, you know, digital kind of like letting people pay with SwayPay. It's just kind of like, oh, but everybody kind of has that for the sake of having it to be a fintech. But for us, it's really about just making the experience easier and easier for the user and keeping the money looping into the SwayPay ecosystem, basically, right? Like it's like, get money instead of cashing out. If you want to just go spend it again, which is essentially what they're doing. If you want to go spend it again, you can kind of just keep looping and boomerang. We call it a boomerang wallet. So you kind of like get the money in, you spend it back out to a brand, you get the money back, you spend it back to a brand, and you kind of just create the cyclical loop with your purchases.
Almost exactly like Venmo, where a friend Venmos me, it sits in my Venmo account, and then I Venmo someone else. And now I'm not even, Venmo just turned off the ability for me to actually send from my Venmo balance. So every time anyone gets Venmo'd, it just pours into Venmo's coffers, and then they can use that to like run a hedge fund on the back end or do whatever they want.
Yeah. And I think what's really cool with what we're seeing too, and I'm almost like, I don't even want to call it Venmo as much as I want to call it like the Starbucks wallet, right? It's like with Starbucks, you kind of put, or the whatever, McDonald's, you put money in it and you know you're going to spend it there at Starbucks. And then Starbucks essentially owns the entire end-to-end ecosystem. So they're kind of a bank without being a bank, right? Like kind of unregulated in that sense, because you can't cash out. Not to say that we would necessarily do that, but from a user, again, going back into anchoring into the user behavior, we're seeing our Sway payers on average post 5 times a month. That is like stupid sticky. It's kind of scary sticky. We have this, like we have to rate limit people because of like, we have to catch up on the brand side essentially. And like, it's just, it's kind of crazy. And so, you know, if that's kind of the user behavior and that's kind of what they want to do is just like put all of their spending money in SwayPay, then, you know, we're obviously going to build whatever infrastructure facilitate that.
You said earlier you have to rate limit people because you have to catch up on the brand side. What does that look like from when brands pay you to when you pay out? I imagine that's why you rate limit people, because of the delay there.
No, it's actually just because we're still kind of in a pre-launchish state. And it's like we're kind of just building all the pieces and putting it all together. So what happens right now is that the brand, we've been figuring out, okay, when does the brand pay us? So initially we said, okay, that you pay us on net 30. But that's not going to work because of the activity. It's just too much. Like we'd have to basically float all of the money spent to reward to the SwayPayers. And so instead now it's kind of like running ads in a sense, where it's once a SwayPayer submits a post within the app and gets approved, that's when that day is when the brand would get charged.
Ah, gotcha. Yeah, which makes a lot more sense. It's a much tighter loop for you.
Yeah, super tight loop.
You talked about some of the stuff that will kind of act as a moat as you grow. Do you think there's anything else that's really a differentiator for SwayPay that separates you from the rest of the pack who are, you know, going after things in the creator space?
I think it's two things. One is just, and this is obviously not what the VC answer per se, it's like the consumer answer, right? But it's just so easy. Like we have built the easiest system for both the brand and the user side. It literally couldn't get easier. And this is probably why bigger creators are signing up, because at the end of the day, Gen Z is famous for what we call, you know, big plans, low energy, where it's like everybody's just make it easy, you know, like pay me for what I'm already, you know, like so simple.
It's a great phrase, big plans, low energy.
Yeah. So that's kind of our thing. The second thing is the business model. So we have a product innovation in tandem with a business model innovation that really, really makes this win-all experience for both the brands and the SwayPayer side. And that comes in multi levels. And so we've actually seen a lot of copycats come out recently, but they're not following, they don't understand how the business model has to actually match the system. And so they're charging in different ways or they're doing different things. Their product is not quite constructed in the way that it really needs to be to maintain that win-all system. And so when we're talking about really scalability, defensibility, creating those network effects, or creating literally, I mean, the foundation of network effects, for example, right, is like how big can you get? If brands ultimately have to cap their budgets, then okay, good luck, right with that. So that kind of like win-all, the marriage of our product innovation, our business model innovation. And then the third thing I have to add is just our brand. I think the brand name, the brand ethos, the kind of catchiness of the jingle that we have, the website, you know, these are all kind of components of what makes products and companies that people not just want to use, but really stand behind. And I consider that to be a really big moat. And we've been very intentional about that from day one. And so we're really excited about kind of just like, you know, delivering it to the highest degree on brand as well from day one.
Yeah, the brand is awesome. The website is great. And it looks like something that I would want to use from a consumer perspective.
Yeah. And actually, you know, I like to bring it back to numbers. So our referral rate is kind of insane. Someone asked me the other day, how do we acquire sway pairs? We just like don't have to. Our literally I should have mathed it before I hopped on, but I think that like, you know, our referral rate, the percent of people who came in through referrals was like 60% in February, you know, 40% in March, June, we're a little bit low. We're at like 35 or something percent, but like, it's kind of crazy. Like if you're thinking about why are you even referring people in? Cause you don't get any incentive for it, except for you get people to try this product that allows them to earn money. And so we're super excited by that. And obviously it kind of resonates from, again, like the product innovation, the business innovation and the brand.
Is part of that referral rate, you think, because inherently by using it, you're sharing it on social media?
Yeah, 100%. So it's a combination of the two. The reason I say that the referral rate is still astounding is because we've barely let anyone in right now, right? Like we're still, like I said, in kind of this nascent state. And it's just like, from watching the content, from just sharing to people, when we see reasons why we ask people why they came in or how they heard about us and like how they're talking about like, oh, this person shared it with me. And we're like, oh, why? You know, and it's just really interesting. At the end of the day, right now, especially in this economy, which is what I was talking about in the paradigm shift, purchasing power is decreasing. Everybody needs to keep up with the things that they were able to buy before this economic downturn. And so you don't really need to incentivize people to refer people to a way to make money for doing what they're already doing.
Those are two killer trends. I mean, the multiplayer aspect where by using it, people are inherently sharing it, like a Zoom or a Calendly. Like when you send one of those links, you're sharing it with other people. But yeah. In your case, when a SwayPay video goes viral, it reaches far more people than the one-to-one Zoom type growth rate. Yeah. And then the referral rate, people only do that kind of referral when it's a really, really killer product. That's like Tesla level referral rates.
So, I mean, Pinduoduo grew off the back of WhatsApp in the very beginning, right? And that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to grow off the back of TikTok, and it shows, right? Like you kind of have the hotbed of virality. Like why try to start that from the very beginning yourself? And so we're seeing that. And by the way, the other thing is like, back to what you were saying is that's where the value is to unlock today for both the brands and the sway pairs. And so it just inherently makes sense from everybody's point of view.
I like that Andrew Chen actually asked founders about the cult.
I love
problem.
That. I
he really
loved
owns that.
That
question. Huh?
Yes, yes, that's his thing. Yes, I should. I feel like that's. Yeah, I'm like glad that he. You know, I got the opportunity for him to ask me that question. I felt like my answer was a good answer. So.
Yeah, it is a good answer. The last thing we always do on the show is a quick lightning round.
Sure.
First thing, what are the metrics that are most important to you right now?
K factor, number one, the only thing, that's the referral rate. So just to kind of explain there is like, you know, that's the measure of your virality. And so a K factor that we have our calculation, K factor from 0.4 to 0.9, I think is considered hypergrowth. One and above is holy grail. And we're currently, fingers crossed, sitting at above one. And again, it goes back to how, you know, people say they're manufacturing virality. What does that really mean? And I kind of actually hate when I hear that when it's not tied to proper kind of math and metrics. And so that's literally our number one thing.
Yeah. I mean, it makes a lot of sense given what you're doing.
Yeah.
What is top of mind for you right now? Like what has to go right over the next 3 to 6 months for SwayPay to really take off?
You know, obviously we're just like any marketplace. And so it's always going to be, we're still going to have supply and demand challenges. And so I think the number one thing is for us to make sure we can meet the demand side. So, or like you kind of on the sway payer side. So we have brands kind of signing up left, right, and center. We also have sway payers signing up left, right, and center, but you still have to match the two, right? And really just kind of making sure you're matching them effectively and creating the momentum and virality for the brands that are signing up is super, super important. And what we do, the way we're able to do that is we have actually a very, very deep data infrastructure that builds kinds of profiles and kind of figures out, okay, the perfect match between the sway pair and the brand, leveraging kind of purchase history, TikTok history, your interests, like what side of talk are you on? For the brand side, kind of the same thing. So really kind of matching those two is top of mind.
If you were starting from scratch tomorrow, what is one thing you'd do differently?
I would have, number one, gotten my co-founder in place day one. He is the best person on this entire planet. His name is Matt. He's my CTO and co-founder. I ended up getting down on one knee and proposing to him to be my co-founder. It was a really cute moment between the two of us. I've known him for 7+ years, and he's just like a phenomenal partner, right? Like every co-founder, and I don't believe, like solo founding is just really, really hard. And we have a technical lead, and we always had from the very beginning, but that's the thing I would have done way sooner. So I didn't bring Matt in until 7 months in, but I would have done it from day one, first choice, first decision.
Yeah, that's awesome. And then beyond SwayPay, in this space or maybe another space, what do you think is one really interesting business that we should all know about?
Honestly, Pinduoduo. I always go back to it. I mean, I don't know if that's kind of like, you know, lame or something, but I am just so obsessed. You kind of look at the magnitude of what they pulled off and as fast as they pulled it off. And you're looking at, you know, the business model innovation, the infrastructure, the kind of like process that they've done.
So I know a little bit about Pinduoduo, but I mean, it's a Chinese tech company, one of many. I think a lot of people don't. Can you break down what's so interesting about it to you?
They're basically Amazon, but for China. It's like if Amazon and TikTok kind of had a baby, or like social, like it's social commerce, and not necessarily TikTok, because it's not necessarily, you know, UGC and content oriented. Maybe it's like Groupon and TikTok, or Amazon were to have a baby, but it's basically they've manufactured virality, social engagement, and fun and kind of game-like experience into buying kind of ordinary goods. They target kind of lower middle class, you know, users or consumers in China. And they just had this like miraculous rise, right? From like 0 to 100 so quickly. I think it was like literally, I mean, don't quote me, but it was like 0 to 1 billion or 4 billion in like transacted volume or something within the first 3 years, something crazy like that. And it was literally because the founder they kind of wove this virality in it and sharing experience from the very beginning. And they're, I mean, fascinating deep dive.
Yeah, I don't remember the exact number, but it's definitely GMV hit like $5 billion in like 12 months.
I mean, nowhere.
Yeah. If anybody's curious, our listeners, Acquired did this amazing podcast breaking down Pinduoduo.
Okay.
My last question for everybody on the show is about vision. Where would you like to see SwayPay in 10 years from now?
This is really about where I would like to see our users. We really believe that the most powerful force in the universe is putting money into people's pockets, and especially putting money into people's pockets who didn't previously have it before. And so in 10 years from now, I would like to sit back and say, however that looked, whether it's kind of a sense of what we're doing now or totally different, or however this company evolves as all companies shed skins over time, it should really be about looking back and be like, man, we accelerated the purchasing power of an entire generation for 10 years and kept it up because it was done in a way where everyone, like I said, everyone was winning, right? Whereas like the Klarnas of the world, they make money when the user loses. And mm-hmm. So, you know, in this way where everyone's winning, and that would be success for us.
Yeah. That win-win model is super powerful.
Yeah.
Well, I really appreciate you coming on the show. SwayPay is fascinating, and I'm really looking forward to seeing where this goes and maybe trying it out. Where can our listeners find SwayPay if they want to start using it?
In the App Store or on our website, swaypayit.com.
Cool. All right. Thanks.
Awesome. Thanks, Joe.